Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson, along with Ryan Dobson and Lou Ann Crane.
Well, thanks for tuning in to Family Talk here on Valentine's Day. I sure hope a lot of you are making romantic plans. If that is the case, you've tuned into the right place today because our topic is how to keep that spark of romance alive and going.
Luann, I'm just glad that Valentine's Day and the whole romance thing is just a once-a-year deal and I can forget about it the rest of the year.
Brian!
You know I'm kidding.
I do. You're a romantic.
I am. Yep. I am. And when you're married, you want things to be exciting. You don't want it to be boring. You want to feel alive with your spouse and excited about being with each other. And that's why we have our guests on today, and their tips will be so helpful in this area. We're having Bill and Pam Farrell on the Family Talk broadcast.
And if those names sound familiar to our listeners, that's probably, Ryan, because the Farrells have been with us a few times in our first year at Family Talk. Today, we're going to hear their thoughts specifically giving advice on romance. The Farrells have written a number of books that tackle aspects of this topic. Red Hot Monogamy, Men Are Like Waffles, Women Are Like Spaghetti. We have links to both of those titles at myfamilytalk.com.
Bill and Pam have been married for nearly 30 years. They're so much fun.
They act like newlyweds.
They do. Yeah. We had them on my radio broadcast, Grounded, and my listeners fell in love with them. They were a blast. And that's why we are so happy to bring you this timely conversation about love, marriage, and romance.
And let's get to that now, Ryan, actually as you opened up our discussion with the Farrells.
You know, it's interesting talking about romance. I remember it's got to be 8, maybe 10 years ago, Dad, I was talking to you about some relationship issue. I was confused or frustrated because, you know, something got thrown out of left field, what I thought. And you said, you know what, Ryan, I've been married to your mom for over 40 years, and there are days that I wake up and I have no idea who your mom is. She surprised me, and I think, I've known you most of my life. Who are you?
She's a very complex woman.
That's
and
right.
I'm learning about her every day.
Well, aren't those synonyms,
mystery.
Complex woman?
They do.
You know what, though? You explained to me something very interesting then, and it never, never left me, and it has allowed me, when things get thrown in out of left field, where I'm shocked and confused and I don't know where this is coming from, you said this is how God planned it. Because I've been married to your mom for over 40 years, and yet there are still new things to find out. There's still mystery. There's still surprise. I still get to learn new things about your mom every day or every year. And that's how we can be married. You've been married now for 50 years. And that's the way it was designed. If you could figure that person out in the first year, wouldn't you just get bored?
That's a great point.
It's still fresh and new. I mean, it is still fun. I enjoy being with your mom more than anybody else on earth. You know, I just do. And there's an element of romance to that. There's intellectual stimulation. But we're going to be talking today about the meaning of romance. And let me go to our guests again, Bill and Pam Farrell. First of all, define romance for me. What does that mean? What is romance? What does it mean to be romantic? Men are beaten over the head with this because they're not romantic. I'm not sure that we always know what it means. Tell us.
Well, there's a simple definition and then there's a good biblical one. The simple definition is, I took the time to care about you and show you that I was thinking of you.
It grows out of the biblical word encouragement. The word encouragement means to be called alongside. And the implication is if I'm going to encourage Pam, it means I'm called alongside of her to bring out her best. And encouragement is an expression of that. So anytime I say, Pam, you were worth the time, Pam, you were worth the money, Pam, you were worth the inconvenience, Pam, you were worth me doing something I'm uncomfortable with to make you feel like you were worth it. That's true romance.
Sometimes the man enjoys that romantic activity, too.
Exactly. Yeah, sure. It's a biblical term. Encouragement means to walk alongside to bring out the best in the other person. And so it's good for both genders to have somebody walk alongside them as a cheerleader, but applauding them.
But like we've discovered almost anything can turn romantic. Like we know of a guy who wanted to do something romantic for his wife. He was trying to be real smooth, but he really wasn't. So he went through his neighbor's yard and picked flowers, wrapped them together in a bouquet with duct tape. and handed them to his wife. Now, you know, it would have been easy for her to say, really?
Yeah, you know, in my marital counseling, I once tried to get that idea across to the man, and he had no concept of it.
Yeah.
It really never occurred to him how to make her feel good about herself and to know that she was loved. And he went down and bought her some flowers at the grocery store and came home and rung the doorbell. And she opened the door and he said, here. I mean, it offended her. He was trying.
Yeah.
And that was her mistake. And that's where I cheerlead girls all the time. And I say, okay, women, when your husband tries something romantic, even if it's not suave, even if it's not all like on TV, you tell him thank you. You tell him thank you for that. And he's going to want to return to that romance box. Because guys like to dwell in boxes they feel successful in. So if you keep complimenting him, he's going to get better at romance because he's going to want to encourage you more and more. And he's going to want to see that woohoo on your face.
It goes right back to what you were saying, Bill, that it's the gift of encouragement. Romance is not about how pretty you look and if your hair is done and if you smell good and all those kinds of things.
How much money you spend. It doesn't have to be.
Romance is an attitude. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to define it the way Hollywood does, that it's magical moment. But romance really is the attitude that says, I'm glad to be part of your life, and I'm glad you're doing something that makes me feel better.
So even if I plan an extravagant evening and it doesn't go that way, it can still be romantic.
Exactly.
Yes. And most romance is simple. Like real romance happens in the middle of real jobs, raising real kids, doing real housework, and it's the little things. Like what I've discovered about Pam is that if I can learn to use words to encourage her, my stock goes way up with her. And that's a skill us guys need to learn. Because as guys, we don't thrive on words growing up. We thrive on competition, action. We want to use big muscles. But if we can learn how to just, you know, use words. Like one of our most romantic moments was not a planned romantic moment. I got a call from Pam. Pam tends to be very creative. And because of that, the gas gauge on her car has been more advisory than authoritative. And so I get a call from one day, Bill, I ran out of gas. I have an appointment 2 blocks up the road. Could you come rescue me? So I thought, okay, I'm going to be the big heroic, you know, deal. So I went by the house, got a gas can, got a little gas on it. My plan was to put gas in her car, fill it up, drive it back to her, walk back to my car, do the heroic thing for the day. Well, when I got to where her car was, the car's gone. And I realized this car cannot be stolen. It is out of gas. So I know it's been impounded. Oh. Okay, so I know this is going to be a very expensive day. And, you know, as guys, we tend to get really frustrated at points like this. We're like, why couldn't you just put gas in the car? Why can't you notice the gas gauge? You know, it's there. It works every day. That's how we tend to respond. I said, God, you got to help me. You got to give me something different to say here than what my instincts are telling me.
And so we're driving to pick up the car, and I'm like, oh, I can't believe I did this. I'm like so blonde. I'm blonde beyond my roots blonde. I don't even know why you married me.
Pam, if this is all it cost me to be married to you, it's well worth it. Now, that tank of gas costs $178, but it's become a romantic memory in our life that has continued to live.
Wow.
And you were not gnawing your tongue over that. You know, I don't want to sound self-serving here, but I have a romantic streak within me. And I also am a very smart man. I knew early on that the key to a woman's heart was romance.
Oh, yeah.
I knew that when we were in college, when we were dating. And I'm going to describe for you an event that occurred with Shirley and me. Happened to have been our very first date.
Oh.
And I'm going to tell you what happened on that date and show you that I knew what I was talking about. This is written in Bringing Up Girls, page 47, if anybody wants to check it out. And I said, I took Shirley to a classic restaurant in Hollywood, California, where I told the host where we wanted to sit. Then I helped Shirley with her chair. I asked her what she wanted to eat, and I conveyed her order to the waiter. We engaged each other in conversation for more than an hour, mostly about Shirley. Then I paid the check, and I took her to my car. I walked on the outside of the sidewalk nearest the street, which was and still should be symbolic of a guy's responsibility to protect the woman in his care. I opened the car door for her, and we drove back to our college. I parked, came around to her side of the car, opened the door, and walked Shirley to the front door of her dorm. She thanked me with a smile, and we said good night. I didn't try to kiss her, since that would have put her in a compromising position on a first date, as though she owed me something as a payback. I must have done something right on that enchanted evening, because we've now been married for more than 50 years, and I think it's going to work. I still tried to show her the same courtesies and respect that helped me win her heart in the first place. And she knows all the best ways to please me. Every guy worth his salt who is interested in a girl should read those two paragraphs and understand this is the key to a woman's heart, not just on the first date, but throughout married life.
That's right.
Exactly.
If he gets that far.
You know, and we really found the key to romance was on our honeymoon, and it's encouragement. You know, I stepped out of the shower, I was blow-drying my hair, and I began to criticize myself from head to toe, pointing out all the flaws I thought were in my 20-year-old frame. And Bill was sitting on the bed.
And I'm pretty frustrated at this point. I mean, here I'm on my honeymoon. I'm thinking, man, this is one of the best weeks of my life. I'm telling God, this is good. I can kind of hear him feeding back, yeah, this is good, Bill. You just enjoy yourself. And there's Pam criticizing herself in the mirror. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, what do I do here? You know, I want to tell her to just stop. Mm-hmm. Like, what do I do? And one of the points we like to say about romance is God's a partner with us. And so even if we don't know how to be romantic, if we'll say, God, what do I do? He'll feed us ideas. And so the thought that crossed my mind is, Bill, you could do a better job than the mirror's doing right now.
And so instead of becoming angry, he came over and wrapped his arms around me, and he took my face in his hands, and he said,
Pam, let me be your mirror. If you need to know how beautiful you are and what a great woman of God you are, you come see me, and I'll tell you. And if I have to break every mirror in our house to get you to believe me, I will.
Mm-hmm. And you melted.
I did.
Yeah. Well, assigning value. Isn't that basically what it is?
I saw such a fast change in her that I said, Bill, pay attention.
Yeah.
What happened right here is the key to her heart.
But, Doctor, I'm curious, what do you say to the person that says, well, that's manipulative? You know, what about the kind of the skeptic who says you're just playing those games to get to her heart?
Hmm. Well, it wasn't a game. First of all, it came from my heart. Mm. It was something I enjoyed, too, because if it really works, both the man and the woman will find something in one another. Mm. You know, if there is an opportunity to connect with one another, it's not a game. It's not something you're doing to try to impress the other person. But it is an expression of love between a man and a woman.
See, what I would add is that love is influential. The reason why we commit our lives to each other is I like the influence you're having on me. Mm-hmm. And if the influence is good, we call it influence. If we don't like the influence, we call it manipulation. Mm-hmm. And so romance and words and all of that stuff we do to try to get into each other's lives, it's all influencing one another. And it's a good thing. Like Pam has influence on me that nobody else has.
You know, Bill, you use something when you talk called romantic rituals.
Yes.
And there's two sides of the story because these are things that men can learn to do.
Yes.
Which will make women happy. Talk a little bit about those rituals and then how they become second nature over time.
Well, let me give you an example because I didn't grow up in a home like you guys talked about. Like my dad tried to romance my mom, but my mom didn't receive a lot of it. And there was a lot of conflict in my home. My mom struggled with a mental illness a lot of her life. And so the example I saw growing up, what I concluded is I don't want what I grew up around. So when I got married, I'm like, okay, how do you do this? And one of the things that we decided early on is we want to have a way of saying I love you and I'm committed to you regardless of the atmosphere of our relationship. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we decided we were going to do is that every time we pray over a meal, we're going to kiss each other. And so if we have breakfast together, we pray, I kiss Pam. If we have dinner together, we pray, I kiss Pam. And a couple asked me about 2 months ago. They came up to me and they said, hey, we just want to know, do you still do that when you're upset with her? And I said, yeah, because it's a commitment I have to her, not a convenience.
Yep. And it's even more important when you're upset to do that.
And it gives me a way of saying, no matter how we're doing, because we want romance to be that magical thing that makes the stars brighter and makes us always feel like life is just this incredible, wonderful adventure. But sometimes romance just says, you know, I don't even like the way our life is right now, but I'm committed to you.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever said, I'm going to kiss you, but I'm really ticked?
Probably more than once, yeah, we've said that. And, you know, that's the thing about a romantic ritual is it's a small thing you choose ahead of time that says I value you no matter how I'm feeling.
Shirley and I have a little secret that I've never told anybody before. It's no big deal, but it's just between us. Mm-hmm. When we're sitting in church, we often hold hands. Mm-hmm. And I will squeeze her hand 3 times.
I love you.
It says, I love you. And she'll squeeze 4 back. And nobody sees it. Nobody knows it. It's no big deal. Mm-hmm. And it's just a little affirmation that I'm thinking of you at this moment.
Laura and I say I love you at the end of every phone call.
Perfect.
Before hanging up, it's always I love you, bye.
Mm-hmm.
And I travel a ton. At least I used to travel a ton. I'm doing less and less.
Mm-hmm.
But we just want, if that is our last words, that's what I want it to be.
Exactly.
I don't want it to be. And there's been a couple of times where we have not ended that way because we're angry. Laura, more than I, will call back and say, I don't want this to be our last words.
And see, as guys, we need to hear that this is where romance starts. Because if we create these rituals where I will do this every time.
Right.
Then when the big moments come, the atmosphere's right. Like what happens so often in marriage is we've had a bad day, we've had another bad day, we've not gotten along, we're not talking, so I'm going to plan a romantic event and it's going to solve everything. And when you put that much pressure on the event, like we're going to go from bad to good right now.
It's going to crash.
It crashes and burns.
Yeah. Too much pressure.
It's too much
Pam,
pressure.
Pam, for the men who are listening, talk about the importance of romance for a woman as compared to a man. I mean, this is a centerpiece of life, isn't it?
Oh, it is, definitely. And men are like waffles and like spaghetti. We talk about how to romance a woman. And I think the key is those connections. And all of our life is connected. And so I want to know how you're connected to me economically, with our kids, and emotionally and physically. So romance is really important. So if Bill wants to really wow me in the area of romance, a typical date that would wow a wife would be?
Well, like if I didn't have a lot of money to spend, because like anybody can do romance if you have an unlimited budget. So if I have a limited amount of money and I'm going to have just a simple date with Pam, say it's a Friday night date. Well, if the Friday before I send her an invitation in the mail that says, hey, would you spend Friday night with me? And then on Tuesday, I just check in. Did you get it? Are we good? Are we on? On Wednesday, if I communicate with her, oh, by the way, where we're going, this is what would be appropriate to wear. Because it shows her that I'm thinking about some of the details that are involved. And then if on Friday we go out for the evening, and then Saturday morning I drop a thank you note in the mail that she gets the following Monday or Tuesday, I would have taken a very simple date but tied together a week full of memories for her that connects all those things together in her life.
And you get double points if you arrange a childcare, guys.
Yeah.
I have heard you all talk about returning to places where you had been romantic together. I call that old haunts.
Yes.
I once took Shirley for one of our anniversaries to Farmer's Market where we had gone when we were dating, and then to a movie, and then to a favorite restaurant. The whole date was filled with old haunts, places where we had been when we were very, very close. And it generated the same feelings. And
definitely.
You have recommended that.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the number one reason people that have filed for divorce pull their divorce papers is they remember how much they have invested in the relationship. And so if your relationship is feeling like a little bit on the rocks today, one of the best things you can do instead of hiring a lawyer is take some of that money and do exactly what you just said. Go back to some of the first places. Go back to where you first met. Go and have another date. Go back to where you first said I love you. Go back to where you first kissed. Go back to where you first proposed. Go back to where you honeymooned and honeymoon there again. Mm. And you take that money and go back and revisit and rekindle and fan the flames of love.
Something I want to tell guys out there is I think oftentimes because we want to succeed and if we think we're not going to, we stop doing it. Sometimes guys feel when it comes to a date or anything in romance, you've got to do everything. It's got to be dress up, get flowers, get candy, plan a date, plan a movie, get childcare, directions, all those types of things. When in reality, something will always be better than nothing. It was a Valentine's Day, and I stopped off at a friend's house to help him fix his computer real quick. And I was dressed up, and I'm working on it. And he goes, what are you all dressed up for? I'm like, it's Valentine's Day, man. You know, what are you doing? He's like, oh, my wife doesn't care about that kind of stuff. And I hear from the back room, I do too.
That's great.
And I was like, dude, just something.
There's still time.
Get a card.
Run.
Something's better than nothing.
Well, and our goal is to make romance work like life. Mm-hmm. That there should be ordinary romance. That's just the daily stuff you do to say, you know what, you're like nobody else in my life.
And then there's romance under conflict. Like when Bill and I are stressed, we say things to each other like, I'd rather be stressed and even upset at you than on a beach with anybody else.
Yep.
Because it just lays the foundation down. And then there need to be routine dates. You know, like every Friday we just go – like when we first were married, we didn't have a lot to date with. But there was this really good ice cream shop in Bakersfield where we lived that was within walking distance of our apartment. So once a week we would walk to the ice cream shop, have ice cream together, walk back.
That's right.
And then there's the big dates. And those are ones that we ought to put time and effort into and spend money on. Mm-hmm. And what you want is the whole spectrum, because that's real life. It's the way our careers work. It's the way our life works. And so you want to just lay it down. And the place to start is with the ordinary stuff.
Sure.
If you start at the top of the pile and say, you know, I'm just going to be awesome. Well, nobody starts out awesome. We always start off awkward, and we move towards awesome. Mm-hmm. And so wherever you are today, just get started. If the best you can do is a card that says, I love you, just hand it off. If the best you can do is, you got any ideas on what we could do on a date? Like, if that's the best you got, do it.
Bring it.
And let it grow from there, because that's the way skills are. You know, you talked about this is a skill that we can learn. Mm-hmm. Well, skills grow the more you put time into them. So just start somewhere. And ladies, if your husband tries, give him a hug.
Mm-hmm. Pam, how can a wife romance her husband?
Yeah, because men romance differently. How to romance a guy is to lower his stress and tie together his favorite easy boxes. We were actually at Olivet University speaking to the student body there, and I said to the girls in the audience, girls, what a guy is looking for is a low-maintenance woman. I got a standing ovation from the men in that room that day. And they don't change just because they get married. That's still what they perceive as romantic. And so if you can lower their stress and raise their ability to succeed, they're going to perceive that as romance. And so if I want to romance Bill, I want to ask, what's his favorite easy boxes? Well, we have three boys. They all play sports. Most of them football players. So box number one would be two tickets to any football game. Box number two, he loves good gourmet food, especially if it's good for you as well. So taking him to his favorite restaurant would be box number two. And then box number three is like every man's favorite box, and that's the sex box. And he would give you two guys those charger tickets if he could make sure that box number three happened that day.
And really what us guys like is we like simple. We like to know that we can succeed in what we're doing.
Yeah.
And guys get confused all the time. You know, what we hear is, hey, let's go to dinner and a movie.
Not we dinner think... and a movie. Go to Bed Bath & Beyond, totally redecorate the whole house. Let's go to Starbucks and plan out how we're going to pay for the kids' college and our retirement fund. And sometimes what's romantic is just to curl up next to him during the football game or basketball game and just only talk during the commercials.
Yes.
You know, Bill, another word that means an awful lot to men is tranquil. Mm-hmm. They like a tranquil home.
Yes.
They want to come home to tranquility.
Yes. Because men go out to compete.
Yeah.
We don't want to have to compete at home.
Yeah.
We like to come home and rest at home.
Bill and Pam, I asked you if you have a book on this subject, and you said, no, but the concepts are in many books.
Right.
Well, I think you ought to gather them up and put them in one place.
There's one coming out, 52 Ways to Wow Your Man. So we'll be giving some wives some ammo. And
making... Send me a copy of it. Good to have you here again. It's always very inspirational to hear these practical concepts and ideas. They're not new. There's nothing new in a relationship between men and women.
That's right.
It's been around for 5,000 years. But there's some simple ideas that if you follow them and implement them, good things happen between a husband and wife or between a man and a woman in a courting relationship.
And as all of us guys know, happy wife, happy life.
That's right.
Well, God bless you all. Thank you for being back with us today.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed spending time with Bill and Pam Farrell just as much as we did here on Valentine's Day.
And I hope that you've already made plans for your romantic Valentine's Day evening.
I hope so, too.
It was so much fun to have them there. And they really do have a lot of practical ideas to implement in your everyday life.
So it's not too late. You
that's
can
right.
still do something today.
And that's what I tell men. You don't have to do everything, but you've got to do something. If you'd like more resources to strengthen and nurture your marriage, make sure to stop by myfamilytalk.com.
When you're there, you can find out about our special Love and Marriage broadcast collection. Very timely here in February. We have pulled together some of the best marriage programs from the last year and put them into a 3-CD collection. We would be happy to send that to anyone who can make a donation to Family Talk of $20. If you prefer to call us, the number 877-732-6825, 877-732-6825.
Once again, our website is myfamilytalk.com. And while you're there, look for the link to our Facebook fan page. We would love to hear what you're doing for Valentine's Day, how you're making it special, and if you're enjoying our broadcasts.
Thanks for listening here. We hope we've given you some great tips to celebrate Valentine's Day, and be sure to join us next time.